Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, and we are happy to have you guys with us. Don's in the house.
I'm here.
Ava.
I'm here.
And me, I'm Eric, and we are the Valley Outdoors. Lots of fun stuff today. We're going to talk a little bit about where I was last week out at Big Sky. We've got some a story coming out of Washington State regarding a gun control package that was signed, and shotguns have been mostly almost all eliminated from past shotgun zones. Don, going to be kind of a cool story. I think you're going to want to know about that. That and more coming right up after this.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Morning, Donald.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Ava?
I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Well, you know, we got to make sure we have everybody on board alive and well and awake.
Well, we're here. Huh? We weren't the ones yawning.
I know.
It's well, early. It's early.
That was me. Hey, it was a long week last week. What can I tell you?
You're out playing again.
Actually, it was a requirement. I had to sign up. Well, I chose this as a way to get credentials that I needed to have for teaching. So to maintain my teaching, I have to get certified, and you have to have X number of teaching credits or educational credits in order to maintain the ski instruction certification level that I'm at. So went out and did the week in Big Sky, and not long after I talked to you guys, we had dumpage, like a foot and a half to 2 feet of snow. It just didn't stop. It was awesome. I tell you what, frustrating part was I had pulled my calf muscle about 5 weeks ago.
Right.
Torn it. I don't know. Bad enough where I couldn't make, I made it the first half day, and the afternoon I had to take it off. It was just nothing there. And able to make it from that point, but it was a struggle for the first, and I had some ointment that one of the people in my group had, and that put that on, and it helped a ton unexpectedly, so that was good. And but made it through, had a great trip. A lot of animals on the way out and a lot of animals on the way back. A lot of antelope, a lot of mule deer.
Oh, you drove out?
Yeah, I drove. And unless we really flew close to the ground.
I was saying, you got either good eyes, you either got really good eyes or...
But, I mean, the amount of mule deer was off the charts. I could not believe the numbers out there. Beautiful area as well.
You're in Montana now.
Yeah,
right?
It was Montana, Big Sky, and Billings and Bozeman area coming through that area. It's such a different mountain area because you've got a significant amount of flat in that particular, the Bozeman area.
It's more open,
but then you have massive mountains that are spread. So it's a lot different. It's also a lower altitude than you're dealing with in the Rockies. So, it was definitely what reminded me when I used to hunt with my dad out at Miles City. And, a lot of fun, a lot of good memories. And
well, I'm hoping to do the antelope thing this fall in Wyoming. So hopefully you saw a couple there when you went through.
We saw antelope, a lot of them.
Yep.
As well, a lot of them as well. Jump onto local topic. Of course, it's happening across the Midwest is the water levels. They're definitely up in most every area. You'd spoken with some people up in the International Falls about water levels up at Ashkenam, where we do our fishing with us or sorry, what do we call it again?
Fish with Us.
Fish with Us. You had spoken with them. They had some.
Yeah, they're waiting for winter to be over. You know, I said, you know, my first question, you got any snow left? And she goes, the river's open, but that's open most of the winter. It's the lake is pretty solid yet, and there's quite a bit of snow the way it sounds.
Yeah.
In that area, so.
I my guess is it's going to be another year where it's touch and go as far as that goes. We're not seeing a rapid thaw. I was just pulling up the forecast down here, and it's still supposed to be overnights in the 30s, some 40s, but nothing.
That's a slow melt.
Yeah. Like that like that shock 2 days of 90 degrees and then.
Yeah, I also talked to one of the outfitters I work with up in Canada. This was last week already, and he said the ice up in the eastern part of Lake of the Woods was starting to get that dark. You know, so they've pretty much deemed it not safe to be heading out to their camp at this point. So they're in that hopefully 2 week delay for it to be gone.
Yeah.
Once it opens up and a wind comes, it'll take it pretty quick. But it's got to get so the wind can crack it up.
Well, it's got to get so that it's not. You know, we talked about the TDD days where you've got to be able to get time for thaw day. You know, hours during the day.
Right.
It has to be on the plus, not the negative, and lately it's been overnights are freezing.
Right.
So it's not helping them. If it's 38 down here, it's definitely freezing up there, so they're not getting the overnight
thaw
that happens, unfortunately. But river conditions up here, still in the Mississippi area, if you're hoping to go out and do some fishing, still ramps are going to be closed for, I'm thinking almost another week and a half, at least 2 weeks. We just peaked at 16. We've got 4 days of rain coming across the whole Midwest. I just pulled up the radar, and it, you know, as far as the way it looks for the weekend, it looks like it's going to be rain. Doesn't mean you can't get out and do some shore fishing and crappie fishing on those warm northern bays, but down the river, there's nowhere to put a boat in. Don't even bother trying. The debris level is going to be extremely high as well when it does open, but still nothing open at this point.
I mean, it's really quite high for, you know, I've been in this area now for about 17 years. I think it's probably the highest I've seen.
Yeah, since, I think it's 1965.
Yeah,
well, 80s, we're the seventh highest peak. I just checked.
Right now, yes.
Yeah, the seventh highest peak, we're at 16.8 was the peak. And again, it may come up as a secondary, who knows?
Right.
But 16.8 is pretty darn high, and a lot of water involved with that. So, and we're praying for the people that have businesses and houses on the river to that they make it through and everything is okay. So,
yep.
Tell you what, Don, real briefly, we're talking about the river situation. And
Yes. There's
a lot of my buddies that went out and have been catching fish, pitching jigs along the edge of the river.
Yes.
The high water.
Yeah.
In the back eddies. So you can fish from shore, still enjoy it. You can't put a boat in, but you know what? That's what fishing's all about, right? Where it all started. Fish from shore, enjoy, get your tackle in the water, get a line wet, and have fun. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. All right. We are going to be back now, right after this. Glad to have everybody hanging in there, joining us. Of course, we'd like to have you join us on Facebook and
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
That is correct. And we'll be sometime in the next, month and a half, 2 months? We're going to be announcing any special.
I don't think it's going to be that long.
Oh, it's going to be sooner than that.
I think it's going to be sooner than
nice.
That. Yes.
I didn't want to jump too far.
Well, I'm.
Cool.
We're just verifying a couple of dates here.
Perfect. Well, that's good. That would be for the Fish With Us.
Yes.
Cool. I'm excited. That'll be good. Every year it's fun. We have a good time. Good food. Good times.
We're working on some things.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I will be, too, once I get everything. You get everything finalized, and I can work on my side.
Yes.
Which is a good thing. Wanted to just throw something out, Don. I read an article and I don't have anything in front of me about it, but Steve Felagy, he writes for the Outdoor News.
Okay.
And Rob Driesline's publication. And we've done a story, I think about 3 weeks ago, regarding Red Lake and what's going on up in Red Lake as far as the band's attempt to gain access to the remainder of Red. Right now, they don't have access to the northeast little chunk of the lake that's open for fishing. And what was brought up was, I didn't think of it this way, but now I'm getting it. Steve brought up a point. He said, we need to be mindful of what happens with this particular case and allowing the, or whatever decisions are made on the Red Lake and the northeast side, because Red Lake is different than other tribal fisheries in that that's a closed fishery. Once that is ceded or taken into the band's territory, there is no fishing that will be allowed on Red Lake for a regular angling non-tribal member. So closed versus open. Open being Mille Lac is an open. It's managed, the territory around it is managed by the Mille Lac Band, Ojibwe, and that allows fishing to occur. There's netting that happens, but nonetheless, it's an open fishery. And there's a number of them, Vermilion, the Fond du Lac bands, a number.
Okay.
But what he brought up was, be careful of the precedent that's set and be careful on what messages are sent when it comes to that piece. And I thought it was I had to think about it for a minute because Red is a big fishing opportunity. People love fishing up there. And if that occurs and it closes it, I'm curious as to what would there be backlash? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's hard to comment on something that you're not totally familiar with all of the parameters,
mm-hmm.
you know, with what's going on there, what the history has been. I've never fished Red Lake. And I know it's two ginormous bodies of water yep. that are kind of connected now. Are they yep. like an east and a west or a north,
north
and a south?
North, south, Red.
North, south.
And the northeast chunk, there's a line.
Is that the only place?
That's the only place you can fish on Red. The regular non-tribal angling community can fish.
Okay, so how do they know the boundaries?
It's a GPS line.
Okay.
You draw.
And you can't fish west of that?
Nope.
Or south of it, I guess you'd say.
And
I don't know what the thought process is or why they would want that to be the case.
Yeah.
But there'd have to be a lot of information made available to even discuss honest.
But it was just an interesting and thought-provoking in the fact that the profit that comes into the community, the benefits that come in a Mille Lac situation between the resorts and the casino and all that, and how they develop that. And then again, also how it's changed with Red Lake having in the past a fish processing for walleye, having it.
Do they commercially fish?
It's gone in and out and in and out. And the problem is that for years back, it was fished commercially and then it was fished out. Then they asked for help from the state. The state's when the state shut it down. I think you remember that's when a big crappie thing went on. Everybody went up to catch crappies. The walleye were, you couldn't fish for them, but the crappies were massive.
Yep.
And then the walleye came back and then they went back with the tribal change. They went back to basically processing a fish processing, and then they were devastating the fish again. So it happened twice within a period of time. I'm not going to give exact dates and windows, but state DNR helped bring that back in that particular situation. So there's cooperation that I think has to happen between all parties involved. And I think it's how do we look at a resource? And that's the one thing I think we have to consider, all sides.
Absolutely.
And where and what is going to be the best benefit for that particular case. And that's one of the things that I thought it was very thought-provoking from Steve. And it was just a little opinion piece he does, but it kind of raised my, I don't know, thoughts and questions that...
And how can we deal with these situations when they arise? Yep.
Well, and how do you deal with, because is politics going to play a part? I think it will in the worst possible
usually
way.
Usually does.
Always does. So, hey, tell you what, hang tight. We're going to be right back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. So, Don, I had seen an article just... recently about Washington State. The governor had just signed a gun control package, including a assault weapons ban. And the quote was, no one needs an AR-15. So it always brings my ire up a little bit when people make statements that you don't need that. Well, it's not a matter of needing it. Understanding what an assault weapon
is an assault weapon.
Exactly. And what's really the sad thing, politicians, I would say the majority of them have no idea what they are. Or they're capitalizing on the fear, which is fear-mongering, which is the same thing that's happened for years, regardless of what party you're talking
about. Part of the
problem,
in all honesty, is the media, and they have used the words assault weapon and allowed it to be used when they're really sporting rifles.
Yep.
And an assault weapon is something that is used in the military. They're totally different. You know, a rifle is simply a tube with a hole down the middle of it that can send a projectile.
A solid projectile.
Yes. And the cosmetics on it, you know, I mean, I guess it looks scary. And
and it includes the method, the firing rate method with anything that's accessible to anyone in the public is a single trigger pull, single fire of a
semi-automatic,
a ballistic, some type of whatever shell, right? Semi-automatic.
Well, unfortunately,
it is not pull the trigger.
Those that are not in the know have been watching too many movies.
They have been. They don't understand it.
Or video games.
You can't get without a special permit that is extensive, either a law enforcement or similar permit. You cannot get an automatic weapon. It is not available to just anybody by any means. It's the most restrictive possible thing you could ever have.
Yeah, well, and the next important thing is that anybody, in my opinion, anybody that purchases one, a regular AR-type 15 or any type of firearm for that matter, needs to have the proper training.
Absolutely.
I think it should be a requirement to purchase.
It should be. It should be. So the story goes, the mood in Washington State Capitol, this is Washington State, was jubilant as Governor Jay Inslee signed a trio of gun control bills, which immediately bans the manufacture, purchase, or importation of so-called assault weapons. Party safe tonight, the governor told supporters after signing the bill. He said the Inslee and the attorney general, both Democratic Party members, pushed for the gun control package. With the governor's signature, Washington becomes the 10th state to adopt an assault weapons ban. Quote unquote, no one needs an AR-15 to protect your family, he said, while surrounded by family and members of shooting victims. You only need that to kill other families. Wow.
Yeah, that's way off the mark.
It's just scary. Earlier, lawmakers passed a bill, mandate safety training. It requires a 10-day waiting period to buy a gun, as well as a bill that will require gun makers and dealers to take reasonable steps to protect their products and keep them out of the hands of dangerous individuals. The bill would require safety training and waiting periods affecting starting January 1st, 24th. We lead this country in so many ways, and we're leading on this. I'm not sure any state has ever taken this 3 steps in one day. He said, well, those bills are to celebrate, there are more things to do against gun violence. I don't know, Don. It's a little frustrating.
Well, it's unfortunately, I think a lot of times if you get in a conversation with someone about this type of thing, it's usually ignorance.
Yep.
You know, they're just uninformed about what the reality is. Do you know there are more people killed in America annually with hammers than with rifles? So we don't, we don't have a big, we're not closing down the hardware stores to sell hammers.
And I know that's and people are going to say, oh, that's not a valid argument. Somebody can do this or that. The point comes down to the fact that when you outlaw a lot of things in this world, and it's still not going to stop the bad guys from doing bad things. There is a lawsuit that's challenging the ban that was announced literally simultaneously as the bill was signed. The Second Amendment Foundation filed a complaint in Washington, accused the lawmakers of violating the Second Amendment, with an outright ban of semi-automatic rifles. There, they stipulated, look, it's a semi-automatic weapon. You can't just go ban that. States put politics ahead of constitutional rights and is penalizing the law-abiding citizens, while the legislation does nothing to arrest and prosecute criminals who misuse firearms in defiance of all existing gun control laws. Because it's not like there's no laws in place that are preventing somebody from doing it. That's the thought that comes into play. NRA has also signed opposition to at least two of the bills, said the organizations already has lawsuits working their way through the courts. We're a nation of laws, and they have the right to challenge that, he said. Our record so far is pretty good against the NRA and Second Amendment Foundation. We're undefeated and plan to keep that record straight, is what the office of the governor said. So, yeah.
I'm guessing it'll get challenged. But that's...
Well, it should be challenged. You know, that's one of those big things that comes into play. It should be challenged. There's no question about it. I think that's a important piece. So, out of Minnesota shotgun zone for deer hunting, mostly eliminated in the Senate bill.
Has that been passed?
Minnesota State Environment, Climate, Energy Omnibus Finance Bill eliminates the shotgun zone for firearms deer hunting season, with the exception of Olmsted and Dodge counties. This means hunters could use rifles to hunt deer, where in the past the southern zone only allowed shotguns and pistols.
What are your thoughts? Effective when?
Hmm?
When is that effective?
Senate Environment passed the bill April 20th, 37-29, heads to conference committee for the House and Senate to seek common language and appropriations. It will be reasonable steps towards stewardship for the natural resources and the environments. And our budget improves the environment by planting new trees, lost trees, da-da-da-da-da. And the Senate bill reasonably will be closing the governor's budget proposal. $35 million are allocated to modernizing boat accesses, and another 35 dedicated improving fish hatcheries. So there's a lot of things involved with the bill, Don.
My opinion on it is, I think, hunters, if whenever that takes effect, whether it's this year or the following year, I don't know. But the hunter, it's going to be the responsibility to be much more cautious about their shooting lanes. They're going to have to do some planning, because a bullet's going to carry a lot further than a slug does.
Right, and of course. The conversation is it's going to be uniform across the state, because the rest of the state uses rifles.
Right.
The difference being that there's more open area within the southern part of the state, farmland, et cetera.
But they're comparing this to Wisconsin. Wisconsin is rifle statewide, and their issues with having problems are less than even in Minnesota.
Yep.
With the slug season.
Yep.
So I think they're saying it's going to be more safe. Because you're going to be way more accurate.
Well, and you can see.
And you can see what you're shooting at, yes.
Yep. And again, the legislators aren't sure if the amendment will be passed in the revised bill after committee. We'll see. But it's put out there.
It's on the docket. It hasn't passed at this point.
Amendment was also offered to provide full funding to the CART barrier at Lock and Dam 5 for invasives. It wasn't adopted, but they're planning to put $2 million into capital bonding to design and permitting for the process for the CART barrier to be installed.
You know, a CART barrier really doesn't do any good in a situation like we're in right now, where the water's going over the top of the dams.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
It's still going to remain in front of the dam so that they will keep the CARP away from that point of entry. And that's the bonus point. So that is where it will help and provide us with that protection that we need to have so they don't get massive flows of the invasives coming up through the chute, as they say.
Right.
So that's going to be a key piece of it. So, I don't know. What else are we going to wrap up, Don? Pretty much, I think that does it for
today. Well, stay tuned. We'll be hopefully announcing our Fish With Us promotion coming up here over the next few programs.
I'm excited. That'll be fun. You guys, I certainly am excited about you hanging out with us. For Don, Ava, myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors. Join us next week. Who knows what's going to happen, but it'll be fun. See ya.